I think as far as consultations go, that's a pretty good turnout. To be fair, nearly 3,000 people responding is quite good. It's a lot more than I thought would respond, actually, but it certainly puts paid to some of the narrative that this isn't an issue that doesn't resonate with people.
What do you make of that result? Were you expecting that kind of split down the middle?
It's hard to know, really. So I think what it's fair to say is, if you read through the report, it is quite evident that there was a concerted sort of lobbying campaign by people who are not in support of the bill. And you'll see that through the number of paper responses that were received. About half of them, 49%, I think, were delivered by five individuals. So they'd obviously gone around and started collecting a lot of signatures, essentially. And that's fine, that's part of the process. So I was quite surprised, I think, that that was counterbalanced by the more general response that I received. I did expect this to come out the other way. I thought there'd be a concerted lobbying campaign against, which I think there was. And I think that I was expecting that to result in this coming out in the negative. But actually, even in spite of that concerted attempt to get the result those people were looking for, I think the response shows that actually this is something that matters to people. And I think so. I'm not as thrown, I think, by the 51-49 result than I think you might have interpreted just by looking at the face of it, because I think there was an overrepresentation of people responding who were not in support of the bill against those that were. So, yeah, in a lot of ways, it was a surprising outcome, but actually, it is what it is ultimately.
So, despite that split result, do you believe then, if you were to go, say, door to door and everyone and speak to everybody on the Isle of Man, the majority would be in favour, but by a bit more of a way?
Yes, I do. I mean, like I said, to have a majority of respondents in favour, even in the face of that concerted campaign, I think shows that the real gap is bigger. And I think when you look through the further analysis I've done in the back of the report, against some of the data that had come in, the submissions that had come in, that I couldn't be sure were individual unique submissions. So when you remove ones that didn't provide a name, or ones that were obvious duplicates, or even entries from people who were being shown by the system, by their IP addresses, to having been outside the island, the gap gets bigger and bigger. So it moves from 51-49 to kind of 52, 48, 54, 46, it actually starts to move broader and broader. So my instinct, I think, is that the real view out there in the public is probably closer to the results that Manx Radio got when you did your poll, which is sort of 60-40. Obviously, I can't demonstrate that. There's no evidence to back that up. But actually, I think the report shows that the 51-49 split is predominantly as a result of that overrepresentation of people having a particular set of views being sort of lobbied and supported in producing a response. So I do think the real gap out there is bigger than 51-49, but all I can say for certain is the people who responded to the consultation supported the bill by a margin of 51-49.
You've said this is the first cut of this data to try and show the complete unfiltered answers to the consultation. So what happens next? You've talked about that further analysis, but surely you have to kind of trust the democratic process of this consultation and present the results as they're shown here.
Yes, so I think you've maybe got confused there. So the first cut of the data is presented at the front of the report. That further analysis that I've just talked about is also in the report at the back. So I did that deliberately, because what I didn't want to do was I'd had a lot of concerns raised with me by members of Timwald around people submitting duplicates, for example. So what I didn't want to do was go down the road of stripping out everything that I thought looked a bit odd at the outset. I thought I would include all the data as it was submitted, and publish that in the first part of the report, to give people that almost this is the rough cut. This is the totality of the information that was submitted. In the back of the report, I've then done three further steps of analysis, and I've done that separately, so it's all presented individually in the report, so that people can follow where I was going with it. And what I've done in that further analysis is I've removed things that were potentially duplicate entries. So this is where, for example, I've had two submissions with identical names put in. That's a potential duplicate. So I don't know whether it is for sure. All I know is it's potentially a duplicate. I've removed anything where no people chose not to submit a name, for example, because again, the only reason I needed people's names was to use them as a unique identifier. But if there were two blank submissions, I couldn't tell you whether that was one person filling it in twice or not. So I removed those. I then took a step to remove any IP addresses that were outside the Isle of Man. So I had some submissions which the system told me were located in Iceland or in England or in America, for example. Now, they could very well have been people on the island, and it was just that's the way it was being recorded. It could have been Manx residents abroad on holiday, or it could have been actual people that don't live on the Isle of Man filling in the consultation. So I stripped those out. And the reason that I didn't strip those out in the first cut because I don't know for sure that these were duplicates or people that weren't Manx resident. And I didn't think it would be right for me to make those decisions, if that makes sense. I figured it was better to present all of this to Tim Wald, to the House of Keys, and then let them make their minds up as to whether or not they preferred the full totality of the data or the data after it had gone through these various cuts. Ultimately, all I'm doing here is presenting that data and presenting those outcomes to the House. I'm not trying to tell them which of these bits of data they should prefer, for example, that they can decide whether they want to just accept the whole amount or whether they think actually, no, removing duplicates, like removing blanks, is probably the right thing to do, and they can then accept those results instead. I figured I'd just present everything to Tim Wald as openly as possible and leave the decisions up to Tim Wald members.
And that leads to my next question, I suppose. What happens next then? What do you do with this data? I mean, we've seen already Onken MHK Rob Callister this morning saying it shows there isn't a strong desire or significant outcry for any changes to be made.
So the next step is this has been presented to the House of Keys, and the next step now the bill will progress in line with the resolution on the 26th of March. So the next sitting of the House of Keys will be cracking on, basically. But no, Mr. Collis's response is exactly what I expected from those who don't support the bill and who insisted on me going out and consulting. It was Mr. Collis's amendment, I think, that insisted I go out and consult. I have done that. I have gone out and consulted. Clearly, the consultation did not produce the response that he and others wanted, so they will ignore it. That's my view. That's what I thought they would do from the outset. I thought if this didn't come back with the answer they wanted, they would start saying, well, it doesn't matter anyway. I would argue that with nearly 3,000 responses, that is one of the largest responses to a consultation that we've seen on the island. There is clearly an interest in this. And even though there was some significant lobbying against the bill, the consultation still, even in the face of that, came out in the positive with the consultee responses supporting the bill. So for someone who called for a consultation, who said, go out and talk to the public, I've done that. The public have told you what they think. Really, it's incumbent on us to listen, I would argue.
Well, that was what I wanted to ask you next. Of course, like you say, it was Mr. Collis's idea for this consultation to take place. But do you personally think it was worth it, the time and effort and seeing the results in front of you now?
I honestly don't know, if I'm honest. So I didn't really support the going out to consult in the first place because I knew there would be a lobbying effort on the part of people against the bill, because people who I think are who don't want to see change are normally more invested in these things. So I wasn't expecting the results to come out as they did. I thought there'd be a concerted lobbying effort that would have pushed the narrative and pushed the numbers into the negative. And equally, because that then wouldn't have been representative of the Manx public, I thought, actually, what is the point going out and consulting when you almost know that the outcome is going to be weighted towards those not in favour of doing a thing? I also had a very strong feeling that even if I were to consult, those who were against the bill in the House of Keys still wouldn't support it anyway. So I don't think this will change anyone's mind, for example. In which case, what is the benefit in going out and consulting? Now, if I genuinely believed that members of Keys will look at this report and go, actually, okay, yeah, I was wrong, the public do sort of support this, we should carry on, then I think it would have been a worthwhile exercise. But I honestly think that the vote was 13-11, I think, in the Keys the last time round. I think it'll be 13-11 again. I think it will be the same people voting in the same way. And I think this was just an attempt by those people who don't really want to see change to try and stall, if I'm honest. I mean, I would like to thank everyone who responded, obviously, everyone who took the time to respond to the consultation. And like I say, hopefully it will have an impact on the way Tim Wald members view the bill and the actions they take off the back of it. But who knows, right?
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.